If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading the Christmas story together this morning. In Luke 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 20 with a message entitled Treasuring Up All These Things. And so as we're reading the Christmas story, I just can't help but think of different Christmas memories we may have. Any of you all have really good Christmas memories? It's fun to share with each other, and especially around this time of year as family gets together, you look back at different things that made you smile or different things that really stuck out to you about the Christmas season. And as I was looking back at different memories I have, I realized they change in different life stages. When I was a kid, all of my memories revolve around opening presents, right? I mean, that's really the excitement of Christmas as a kid, is waiting for Christmas morning to arrive and Santa to be there and presents under the tree and ripping in and paper flying and you're excited about the presents. I can remember one particular year. To kind of lay the foundation here, my mom and dad were divorced, and so my mom and stepdad did Christmas, and then I did Christmas with my dad and stepmom. And I remember one year, my dad's very athletic, and so I'm not, but I want to be, right? I enjoy athletics. And so all I told him, all I want, Dad, is a football. That's it. I had visions of going out in the backyard and throwing football with Dad, and, you know, it probably hit me in the face because I'm unathletic, but that's all I want, Dad. I'm 6, 7, 8 years old. Just all I get is a football. That's all I wanted. And so the time for Christmas came. It wasn't Christmas morning, but it was our Christmas time with Dad, and I was excited. I only wanted one thing, and it's all I've asked for. And there were several presents under the tree. I opened a few of them, and one of them was, growing up in Miami, Florida, was a University of Miami hat. The ugliest hat you've ever seen in your life. But I loved it. It was like kind of a dark green with little ibises, which is the Miami Hurricanes mascot, all over it in different, you know, literally all over it. And it was, to make matters worse, silk. Yes, it was a silk hat covered with ibises. It was hideous, and I loved it, right? Dad got me this hat. I'm ripping through, and I'm excited about the hat and all this other stuff, and I get through all of the presents, and there's no football. Oh, I was crushed. And I start crying because, again, I'm a wimp, and I'm 6, 7, 8 years old. I just wanted one thing. You know, Dad, I'm crying. He says, Trey, what's the matter? What are you crying? Didn't you love everything? And I said, yes, but I really wanted a football. And he looked very confused. He said, but I got you a football. He said, I'm not open to football. And meanwhile, my older sister's over there laughing with the football hidden behind the couch so I wouldn't get my football. And so I'm breaking down and crying, and finally she brings it out. You know, I know this was it. So we went out later that day because in Miami, Florida, as opposed to in the Midwest, you can go outside and play on Christmas Day. Throwing the football around, and I guess I didn't break my nose. And it was, again, a range of emotions. Fun playing football, but I took my hat off for some reason, that ugly silk hat, and I'd set it down. I don't know if it was getting in the way or what, and the dog got a hold of it and ripped it to shreds. I mean, just totally annihilated it. I mean, that Christmas to me was like the perfect range of emotions, from really excited to really sad to really excited to really sad. As you get older, your memories change. I can remember our very first Christmas as a married couple. Hannah and I lived in an apartment in Louisville. We didn't have much decorations, but we had a tree that was, well, I don't know, would you say is about 3 feet tall, maybe? Now, we decorated it and put it in kind of the window of our apartment, thinking, oh, we're going all out, being a newlywed couple. We had to go to Walmart just to find decorations to decorate that little tree with. And I remember our second Christmas together. We actually put up a full tree. We didn't have enough ornaments to fill up a tree. So again, what do? You go back to Walmart, and I've still got a deer ornament that's on our tree, and it's only there because we picked it out our second Christmas, and it was had to have something to fill up the tree with, you know? Didn't have much else. I can remember more recent Christmases. Really, they revolve around now our kids getting gifts and getting presents. One of my favorite recent Christmas memories is two or three years ago. The girls coming downstairs to see what Santa had brought them. And Ashton leading the way, marching down. And as she gets to the bottom of the stairs and sees the presents under the tree, she squeals at the top of her lungs, Santa came! Santa came! I've been good! I've been good! You know? We make some great memories at Christmas time. A lot of laughs, a lot of fun. It's just an exciting time of year. I realize that not all of our memories around Christmas are good. Some things that we remember at Christmas are difficult. Last year was a very conflicted Christmas for our family. Hannah and I knew that we were expecting again, and that was exciting, but at the same time, we were grieving the loss, thinking we should have had a baby this Christmas, and we had lost one that year. It was infinitely harder knowing that Christmas Eve, while we knew she was pregnant, our girls didn't, at least Ashton didn't, and she was brokenhearted. She just missed her baby brother or sister and was crying because we should have a baby and we don't. And it was one of those Christmas memories that I'll never forget. Kind of a conflicted joy, but you're going to get a baby brother or sister, ended up being a brother. But sadness too over the grief of losing one. You know, we have these conflicted emotions and these conflicted memories at Christmas. Some Christmas memories are great and make us laugh. Some Christmas memories are difficult and make us cry. And so this morning, I want to look at the Christmas story from that perspective. That life is not full of all blessing and life is not full of all trials, but there are this roller coaster of emotions that come with life. And certainly that was the case for Mary and for Joseph. So as we read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, we're going to see kind of this roller coaster of emotions that they're on and look at Mary's response to all the circumstances around her. Read with me in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people He favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. You know, Mary and Joseph had quite a journey and quite a trip trying to get to Bethlehem in the first place. They were tired, exhausted. Mary, especially having just given birth. I wonder what her reaction was when all of these dirty, nasty shepherds showed up to see her baby. Now, I've just got to be honest. Hannah and I have gone through the birth of a child this year. We went through that together. It was a co-effort there. Hannah has given birth this year, and we have taken part of that. And I know that right after Hannah gives birth, the last thing she wants is a bunch of guests coming in. Now, there comes a time when it's okay for people to pop in and say hi, and that's wonderful. But in the moments following the birth, I remember Hannah's thinking, I want to take a shower. You know, I want to rest and go to sleep. I want to just spend time with my new baby. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph having just had Jesus? And all of a sudden, it's not just the wise men who are more royalty type that are showing up at the manger. No, it's the shepherds who haven't had access to a bath in probably months or maybe years. It's the smell that comes and hits them first. Do you smell that, Joseph? Yeah, it's the shepherds. They're coming to us. They spend time not just with Jesus, but worshiping Him right up. Can we touch Him? This is God in the flesh. Can we be around Him? Can we experience this with you? And Mary, I'm sure, and in her heart of hearts was probably thinking, I just want to get some rest. I don't even have a bed. And here you are barging in. You know, they had this up and down experience. And the way Mary reacts is not the way I think most of us would react to the circumstances they were in. If you have your bulletin, I hope you'll follow along with some notes that are in there. You can kind of fill in some blanks, and maybe that will be helpful to follow Mary's reaction. The first thing we have to realize is, as Mary is treasuring up all these things, what are all these things? Well, Mary treasured the blessings. She treasured the things that she was grateful and thankful for. You know, you'd think it'd be easy to be thankful for blessings. You think it'd be easy to be thankful for the good things that are happening in your life? And truth be told, if you're asked, you will say, yes, I'm thankful and I'm grateful. But we're not always readily thankful for the blessings we have in our life, are we? Truth is, we take them for granted. The truth is, we enjoy them and we use them, but we're not grateful for them. We become almost entitled to have them. They're things that we deserve and that we've earned, and they're not gifts from God anymore. Instead, they're badges of honor. Look what I have, or look what I've done. Mary was much more humble. She took time to treasure the blessings she had. Now, when it says she treasured up all these things, it wasn't just merely treasuring the shepherds worshiping. She was treasuring the journey that she had been on. Let's think of some of the things that Mary was blessed with. In Luke chapter 1, we read about the story of Gabriel the angel coming and telling Mary that she's going to have Jesus, God in the flesh, that she's going to carry Him. And so in Luke 1:28, the angel comes and says to her, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now talk about a blessing. That an angel would come and say, "You are a blessed and favored woman, and the Lord is with you." This is one of the things Mary was treasuring. Can you believe that me, lowly Mary, am treasured and favored by God? Well, we see she struggled with this in verse 29. She didn't quite know how to take this phrase. And so she was deeply troubled by the statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Mary had humility. She didn't say, "God favors me, I must be something great." Quite the opposite. "God favors me. What have I done to deserve this?" Mary says, "I'm unworthy. This is not something that I've done in it myself. God has given me this blessing." There's this humility about her, this understanding that God is the one who gives good gifts. We find Elizabeth telling her later when she's visiting Gabriel still telling her in verses 31 through 33, "Listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Here is Mary not just being favored, but being given the privilege to carry God Himself. But this is a blessing that she could not possibly have earned on her own. We see later as she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth, not knowing she's pregnant yet, recognizes immediately that she's with child and says, "You are blessed far more than any other woman on earth." Mary is treasuring all these things, understanding that the blessings she has are gifts from God, not anything she's done on her own. She's just Mary from Nazareth. There's nothing about her that has earned any of this, and yet God gives her blessing freely. Mary treasured the birth of her son and her new marriage. She was blessed that she had a baby and a husband who loved her. Mary was blessed by the comforting words that the angel spoke to her, that she is favored. The word of God that came to her through the angel. And then ultimately, she was blessed by the shepherds coming and worshiping, being surrounded by others who recognized God's goodness. Now, I wonder if we have the same blessings that we take for granted. Mary was blessed with her son and with her husband. I wonder if we remember that we are blessed with the family that we have. I wonder if we remember that our spouse and our children and our family are gifts from God. And so next time we lose our temper, which we're prone to do, can we remember that children are a blessing from the Lord, that God has given them to us, that your spouse is someone who God has created just to be with you. And so instead of taking for granted and expecting more, can we just stop for a moment and say, thank you, God, for the family that I have. Thank you, God, for the parents you've given me. Thank you, God, for the children and the siblings. Lord, thank you for my family. Just as the angels came and gave comforting words to Mary, can we remember that we have the very Word of God itself? We take for granted the blessing we have to pick up a Bible and read the exact words that God has for us. God's very words passed down to us. Can we stop for a minute and just say, God, we don't deserve that. And yet you make clear to us the way of salvation through your word. That, Lord, is a blessing. You know, Mary had the opportunity to corporately worship with the shepherds. There were other believers in God who came and just wanted to see Jesus. Can we remember that God has given us the blessing of corporate worship as well? That we get to, on a weekly basis, be surrounded by others who just want to worship Christ? The Lord has given us blessings that sometimes we take for granted, that we forget. And God has given us these blessings so that we can give Him glory and thanks. So it wasn't just blessings that Mary was treasuring. Mary just didn't have the good memories, the good things that she was thankful for. Mary also treasured the trials, the difficulties, the journey that brought her to Bethlehem. Think about all that Mary and Joseph have gone through. We read that in chapter 1, verse 31, now listen, you'll conceive and give birth to a son. Blessing, that's wonderful. Except there's a problem and an issue. In verse 34, Mary asks the angel, how can this be since I've not had sexual relations with a man? Mary says, I'm not married. I've never been with a man. It's not possible. This was not a blessing to Mary. This was a curse. In this culture, she could very well be dragged out publicly and executed, stoned. As a matter of fact, we see this exact picture with her son when he grows up and confronts a woman who has been intimate with a man that is not her husband, and everyone in the town drags her out and surrounds her and asks Jesus, should we stone her? The law says we should kill her. Mary here is fearful because she knows that what the angel is telling her has endangered her life. This is not a blessing. This is a trial. And yet, Mary is treasuring even the trials. We read in verses 3 through 5, now that Mary is very far along in her pregnancy, everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. This was a journey for a 9-month pregnant woman to walk on foot. From Bethlehem to Nazareth to Bethlehem was roughly 80 miles. Now this is 80 miles, not in a car, but 80 miles on foot. Roughly from Robinson, Illinois to Evansville, Indiana. Does that maybe help you a little bit? Except for we think Evansville takes about an hour and 20 minutes, maybe an hour and a half. If you hit traffic right and you have a heavy foot, you can get there in an hour and 15. You know, we know the trip to Evansville doesn't seem that bad for us. But I would challenge you to, why don't you this morning when the service is done, just start walking south, okay? But don't just start walking because most of you are in relative good health. Some of you all are in better shape than some of us, but you can maybe get there at a decent pace. Instead, I want you to take about 20 pounds and strap it to your stomach, okay? Now, you have an option. You can either walk, okay, or you can ride a donkey, and you tell me which is more comfortable to do, okay? We're not sure how she got down there, whether they rode or walked, and neither way is good. And so I challenge you to just give it a shot and tell me when you make it to Evansville. I've got a feeling you'll be there in time for the stores to be back open after Christmas, okay? This was a difficult journey along roads that were not nearly as paved as we have today. With a woman who is not just carrying extra weight, but carrying the emotions of being pregnant. Carrying the trials and the burden that come with being 9 months pregnant. I had a difficult time getting my wife, who was 9 months pregnant, in the car just to go to Terre Haute, right? I can't imagine saying, Hannah, let's walk to Evansville together. This was not a blessing. This was a trial. This was a difficulty that they had just undertaken. Then we see in verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger. How about this for a blessing? Because there's no guest room available for them. I'm sorry, you've just walked 80 miles, taken you days to get here. You're pregnant and miserable and uncomfortable and due to give birth at any moment. I've got a stable out back with animals, and I've even got the deluxe stable. You can put him in the feeding trough if you like after he's born. This is not a blessing. This is a trial. This is Mary going, Joseph, I told you to make reservations months ago. You knew the census was coming, and how come you weren't on the sending a pigeon down and getting us a room? Yeah, this was chaotic. This was stressful. And it's in this stress that Mary is treasuring all of these things. Mary's treasuring the trials, the shame of being an unwed mother. She's weathering the trials of traveling, being 9 months pregnant. She's weathering the trials of having to give birth, not just sleep, but having to give birth outside, surrounded by animals, and having no place to lay her baby. You add on top of that, not just the shame that she would have experienced being an unwed mother, but the fact that Joseph initially told her that he was going to divorce her. The initial thought was, I'm breaking off the engagement and you're on your own. All of these thoughts, how God is working, the ups and the downs. And sure, Joseph ends up taking him because he has a vision as well. And so God works that out. And they do have a place to stay. It may be a stable, but it's a place. And they made it to Bethlehem and they're safe. The journey was long, but they're there. It's not that God doesn't work things out. It's that the trials are real and they're difficult. And Mary understands all of the trials, everything together is part of God's plan, and she treasures them. How can we have this attitude of Mary to be thankful and treasure both the blessings that God gives us and the difficulties and the trials? I think it has to be because Mary's faith remains constant. Her faith remained constant. And how does it remain constant? In the midst of all of her greatest fears and trials, how did Mary respond to God? What did she do? Well, we read in chapter 1, after she's been told she's going to give birth, but before she knows that Joseph is actually going to go through and marry her, she takes off and goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. And while she's there, she gets a reaffirmation from Elizabeth that God is with her. And these are the words in the times of her greatest fear in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 47. Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She doesn't say, God, how did you let this happen to me? She says, God, you're such a good God for giving me this child. In verse 49, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and His name is holy. This is a God who has just subjected her to ridicule and suffering. And she says, God has done great things. And of course, in chapter 2, verse 19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things, the good and the bad, treasured these things in her heart, and meditated on them. What was different about Mary that she was able to take both the blessing and the trial? How can we receive both the blessing and trials of life and treasure these things? Well, it's only because Mary's faith was rooted in God and not her circumstances. Her faith was rooted in something that did not move, something that was always there for her. If we root our faith in the circumstances of life, our faith is going to be a roller coaster. Lord, you're good to me today. I praise you. God, I'm struggling today. I curse you. God, things are going my way. You're a good God. Lord, you've taken everything from me. You've abandoned me. When our faith is rooted in the things that happen in this life, we always have a wishy-washy, watered-down faith. But Mary's faith was rooted in the constant of her God. The promise that He knows what's best for her and will always carry out His will in her life. This morning, I wonder if you've struggled with the ups and downs of life. Things have gone well for you at times. You've had good memories. Things have gone poorly for you at times. You've struggled. I wonder this morning if your wishy-washy faith is because you've put more faith in the things going on around you than in Jesus Christ, who came for the purpose to give salvation and redeem all things, who came with the purpose to give you a way of escape from the sin and guilt in your life. I wonder if we were more like Mary, putting our faith and trust in the constant God, if our faith would grow, if our salvation would be strengthened, and if we would know this Christmas that God is doing all things for our benefit. This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I wonder if you'll ask yourself, do I put my faith and trust in the one true God? Am I trusting in Him to give me salvation? Or am I worried about the things going on around me, good and bad, distracting me from worshiping Him this morning? Can we pray together? Father, we all want to be like Mary. Father, we all need to put our faith and trust in You and not in our circumstances. Lord, this morning I pray that You would strengthen us to see Your presence even when the trials arrive. Lord, help us to understand that You're working good in our lives even when everything seems to be falling apart. And Lord, we pray this morning that our faith and trust would be in that baby laid in a manger. It would be in that person who grew, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead to conquer our guilt. Lord, I pray this morning that our faith would be in what is one and true, and that is You. Lord, we pray this morning because we know that there are people who are remembering good things, and Lord, people who are struggling this Christmas season. Lord, remind us again that You are constant and You are faithful. Let us be like Mary and put our faith and trust in You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.